Will you call the roll, please, Teresa?
This is only Republican.
David
Adelson. Here. I would do it on the microphone, please.
David Adelson's here.
Here.
Teresa Allen is here. Mary Berg.
Here.
Evelyn Bethune.
Present.
Thank you. Lydia Brazon.
Here.
A.C. Bird. Lisa Davis. Hattie Heffley.
Here.
Phil Jackson.
Here.
Thank you.
On mic, please, everybody.
Ray LaForest. Bob Letterer. Ambrose Lane.
Folks, if you don't say here on the mic, there's not an audio Alan record
Minsky.
Of you being here.
Here.
Nathan Moore.
Here.
Rosalinda Montes Palacios.
Present.
Thank you. Sarv Rondawa.
Yeah.
Rip Robbins.
Present.
Rob Robinson. Deb Shafto.
Here.
Zarina Shakir. Don White.
Here.
LaVarn Williams.
Present.
Greg Guma.
Here.
Lonnie Hicks.
Here.
Dan Siegel. It's not. Hi. Goodbye. Thank you, Dan Siegel. going back to A.C. Bird. Thank you, A.C. Lisa Davis.
Actually, Dan. Dan.
Thank
Dan.
You, Lisa Davis.
Dan.
Rob Robinson. Still not here. And Zarina Shakir. Still not here.
Dan, could you possibly stay for the elections supervisor report? Because there may be some issues, legal implications on the conduct of our elections. We'll do it. We can flip the tech staff report and do it first. You didn't have anything planned today, did you?
No.
Good. Yes. Okay. All right, everybody. Look, it's been a long weekend already, and we're really going to have to be settled to get through this. And speaking for myself, I get more tense as the day goes on, figuring out how we get it all done. I also tend to get a little more autocratic and cranky. So, again, I apologize in advance. Everybody's help will be appreciated, and if everybody could be as relaxed as possible, that'll help. Pete, although we had you for right now, I'd like to flip you with the National Election Supervisor so our attorney can stick around for that report. Is there any objection from Pete and John? Okay. In that case, the agenda would be, after we approve the agenda, the proposed agenda would be a half an hour from the National Election Supervisor, which would include about a 10-minute presentation and then any board questions or actions, followed by a half-hour report from the tech staff. That's John Almella and Pete Caracas. Followed by 40 minutes on action item from committees. The only action items I'm aware of are the National Finance Committee and motions, which we might be able to get done more quickly. 15 minutes for received reports from committees, including the LSBs. That means we'll just accept those reports, read into the record which ones we have. 15 minutes. 45 minutes for lunch. I spoke to the front desk. We have arranged for Pacifica late checkout for all Pacifica members, so you can check out during that period. However, your room key is going to be deactivated automatically at noon. So before you go up there, you have to go to the front desk and have them reactivate your key. They will check you out at late checkout, but we do need to have you out by 1:30. Then we had a half hour of public comment, and then 25 minutes of unfinished business, which would be the approval of the FSRN contract and the motion on habeas corpus. And I've gilded the lily a little on the latter since the motion wasn't actually before us, but we had addressed doing it. And then new business. I know of the following three items of new business: the election timeline for affiliate directors, the Bird motion on supplemental archives funding, and formation of a task force on licensing distribution, which was raised yesterday, and any other business. That would be an hour and a quarter. However, because we are so late, we are going to have to contract it, which would probably mean having lunch during public comment. Members of the public have already indicated they'd be willing to accept our eating if we listen attentively while they're doing that. So that is the proposed agenda. Don is in the process of printing this. I can email it to the board. Yes, Bob. Wait, is there a motion to approve the agenda I just described?
I move to approve the agenda as outlined.
Okay, second. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, Bob and then Don.
I just wanted to check, Dave, when you said committee reports, would that include the personnel committee report that we had discussed earlier?
No, that would be under unfinished business, I believe. Received reports just means we say we got it.
Okay.
If we have to act, actually, you know what? That would be an action items from the committees, okay. And that would go under action items from committees. I'll add that.
Thanks.
Yes, AC.
Mr. Chairman.
Oh, wait, Don White. That's right. I apologize.
I'm wondering where, if possible, we could put maybe a 4 or 5 minute report from the committee that was established by this body, the Investigative Committee on Racism and so on. I have 2 questions for that committee. Have they met? We just need a brief report on where they are.
Do we have a report from that committee?
We don't have a report. We just met today.
Okay. So today was this weekend was the first meeting. Can it be read into the record that the committee has met informally? I take it, and does not have a report at this time. Does that satisfy your request, Don?
Yes.
Are you sure? If not,
well, I could pose just the 2 questions my constituents want me to pose.
Okay, why don't we do that as a 5-minute item under received reports from committees?
Perfect.
Is there an objection to that amendment?
Does he really need 5 minutes just to present 2
Please
questions?
Please don't.
I'm sorry.
We'll take the 5 minutes deciding if we need 5 minutes. Okay. LaVarne?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like a report back on the bylaws amendment that was sent out. If someone can just report back on what the status of that is, I would appreciate that.
You know, the problem is I'm not sure that we have a coherent report. You want each member in each signal area to simply report how...
That would be very good, Mr.
Okay.
Chair.
Okay. Why don't we do that under received reports from committees as well? Is that acceptable? Mm-hmm. Rip?
I sent out something from the executive director regarding the habeas corpus matter, and I'm just wondering if people have that. I know a number of people
have it, and it's in the agenda as unfinished business. And I'll try and get Donna to print it.
That would be really nice.
Okay. So let's see, bylaws amendment. Anything else?
Yeah.
Mr. Chair, where are we putting the bylaws?
Bylaws amendment report back will be 5 minutes from under received reports from committees. AC and
I had requested before that this on the archives of that be put up, the archives resolution be put on up further than, because right now you have it as the very last item on the agenda.
It would take me some time to figure out where to put this. That item is going to take us some time, and we have people who are making reports early. I just don't see any way to move it closer unless we flip new and unfinished business. Would you like to move that we process new business prior to unfinished?
Unfinished business, yeah.
Okay, so excuse me. This is important. AC's requesting an inversion so that we process new business prior to unfinished business in order that the motion that he's bringing on supplemental archives funding, which is fairly significant, is certain to have the full board here. Is there a second to that amendment? Yeah, are you seconding it? Okay, is there any objection to that inversion?
I'm a little bit confused as to where that is.
Don't worry, I'll do it and I'll send it to you. It's flipping new business and unfinished business.
To all of unfinished business and new business?
Yes. Okay?
Okay.
If you don't like that, are you proposing just dealing with the Byrd motion prior to unfinished business?
The Byrd motion has to do with archives. That can't come up during committee reports?
No, there's not time there. Do you want to make an alternative suggestion to inverting new and unfinished business, Patricia?
How about objections, Mr.
Chair? Teresa's objecting.
I am opposed to postponing the free speech news...
FSRN.
The FSRN contract and the motion on habeas corpus, I'm opposed to moving
Would you like to propose the alternative of taking the Byrd motion on supplemental archives as a separate item prior to unfinished business?
Yes, that's fine.
Is there a second? Is there any objection to that alternative? Hearing none, I'll move that in the agenda and rework the times. May we proceed, or is there anything else?
Just a short item, not on the agenda, but I had a request to see, is there a sheet for public comment sign up out there?
There is not yet.
Okay.
Ivan? Ivan's got it working? Okay, Zarina.
I just wanted to ask, because I did step out, are we going to deal with anything on the elections or the elections committee, election supervisor?
Yeah.
Because I have a question that I would like to ask that pertains to our particular station.
The election supervisor report is half an hour, assuming we get to it, and 20 minutes of that is for motions relevant to it.
Okay. Thank you.
No further amendments? May we adopt the agenda as amended and adjusted? Any objection to that? Then we'll proceed. Les Radke, you're in the room? Okay. You have 10 minutes for the presentation. We have 20 minutes for interaction, motions, and the rest.
You can come up here.
What?
Should he come up to the gate?
No, it's all right. This is fine. This is probably the worst weekend for me in terms of having interaction with the board, because September 25th, of course, was the time when all statements from candidates were due, and Monday is when they all have to go to the printer. So I left the office last night about 1, and I'll be going there after people have talked to me to finish all of the candidate statements. So that's why I haven't been here this weekend. It's primarily because we do have to have all these statements. Some of them were written and not in electronic format. There were many, many other problems for anybody who's done this type of job. It just was hard. I did want to be here because this is a democratically elected board, and for all the problems that we've had, one of the problems we haven't had are people here criticizing Amy Goodman for her show, for having criticisms of liberal Democrats. We haven't heard that from the democratically elected board, and I remember when we did. And the board, is overseeing a network that has been very, very good in terms of handling the Middle East crisis. I think we have to look at some of the advantages of having a democratically elected board as well as the disadvantages. I want to start with that. The question of the elections then comes in like this. The first thing is that I'm right now faced with unfair campaign practices at each station that I'm trying to deal with. And somehow these statements are not, and this is going to shock you, loving, kind, and cooperative. I've heard statements like so-and-so is worse than Bush, which means some of you are bombing countries. So-and-so is a Stalinist or Hitler, which means somewhere you're secreting gulags. This is not the way a group of people should behave. Why am I raising this in a National Election Committee report? Because when we address the fact that candidates should attend a local station board meeting, all of the local election supervisors shouted no spontaneously. Because at each station, they found that people were sitting with each other in clumps, and if people who were sane watched that kind of what one local election supervisor said was a kindergarten without a teacher, and people treating each other not in a comradely fashion, it makes it very, very difficult for a democratically elected board to work with each other. People said, and I don't understand this, that people sat in clumps rather than sitting in the middle of people you disagree with. I know that this is not directly related, but you can't have elections where people are fighting each other as if they are engaged in class struggle. That is not the reality. There is a class struggle going on, and it's that the U.S. government is aware of what's happening with this democratically elected board and is trying to crush it. And so what we're trying to do, it seems to me, is looking at elections not as a technical but a political process. I'm not going to go over my report. I'm going to just mention a few things and open it up to any questions people have. When we carry out this kind of struggle, we have to be aware that the more outreach we have to groups that, for example, are not involved in this process, the more we protect this organization. There is no station that should not welcome the process of reaching out as much as possible. And there should be no station at all who doesn't understand that we need a national infrastructure and that we need an infrastructure at each station which is functional. Examples. Greg Gloom and I, April 17th, I believe, called up each station manager for a list of the staff. We also sent out a letter saying that by June 25th, we would have a list of the staff. You should be aware there's one station. I still do not have the unpaid staff list with contact information, and yet that's due on Monday. The board passed a resolution saying that there will be a monthly upkeep of staff members. Don't pass resolutions unless there's going to be some teeth. It makes no sense. You can pass resolutions that the Iraq War is going to end tomorrow. That makes no sense. So when you pass a resolution, pass it with consequences. I find it unforgivable that I have to spend so much time on these staff lists when I thought this was taken care of. Secondly, web pages. There's no standard. I put out a program which has people log in, and when they log in, the information about that person is sent to the local election supervisor and to myself. Almost none of the stations' Pacifica.org email works correctly. One station cannot even send anything to me at ballot@pacifica.org. They have to go and access an account outside of the Pacifica account to send me email. There's something that I think we should look at. Carts. There's no structure for carts. The person wanders through the station and is passed from person to person, and if they are in a struggle mood, they finally figure out after a month or two, and this is a shame, how to get carts produced. Many people have come to me even today and said, we should have started the election earlier, like in July, and yet the local election supervisors were working July 25th, and they were working through the month of August. None of them said that they could get anything done for the first month because they're struggling to find out what kind of structure exists in the station. So not only is there a problem of an infrastructure with the network, but an infrastructure within each station. This is something that the National Board should look at. If people started looking not at enemies within ourselves, but looking at structure as a good thing, and looking at the fact that we would be able to do tremendous outreach if we had the cooperation of the station, that is how we turn the decrease of interest in elections to an increase of interest. That's how we go out to the communities and hold these events, which reach a different kind of audience than necessarily is reached by having Amy Goodman, which is also important. But we should look at the local election supervisor as being part of an outreach program. I do want you to read some thoughts. The local election supervisors, this is independent of Pacifica, really, when we've talked, want to meet after this whole process, individual, you know, just to have a group of people who are going to be coming out with the critical report. And my rule on this, never give criticisms unless you have a positive alternative. It makes no sense. Don't yell at people. Don't criticize people. Say, here's the alternative. Not that people have to disagree with it, but at least it gives folks a handle to move on something. And so what we want to do to come together is to come up with positive, constructive alternatives to this process, which is flawed. So flawed that, as you notice, the last three pages are the number of people running. So flawed that in Washington, D.C., there aren't even a number of candidates to fill the seats. You can read the ideas. I welcome people calling me. I welcome people writing me. I welcome people calling me on my cell phone because I think this is really important. I'm one of the people who does believe that the democratic structure can work. But I think there is a breakdown at this point in terms of how we look at this. I'm open to questions. I'm open to comments.
Okay. We have, hang on a sec. I'm going to keep time vigorously. We have 20 minutes. Lydia.
Yes, and the only thing that I'd like to make you aware of, because I know you have to, leave our call the other day, was that in addition to passing the policy about the carts and requiring the stations to run carts during the election, is that we also requested that we have, oh, maybe you were still on the call, that the PMB be updated on directives that you send to management regarding the election. And I would like to add to that, and that's at your discretion, if you can send us things you have already sent out so that we know what they are aware of and yet are not fulfilling, that would be extremely helpful to us.
I will do that in the next 5 days.
Thank you.
Don.
Well, I do want to tribute to you. I know you have an enormous job. I'm on the elections committee. We've had you on our committee many times, and I know the job is overwhelming. Two questions. One, do you have the staff and administrative support you need to do your job? Do you need administrative assistance? Do you need people, a collective of people, to carry out some of the nuts and bolts of this? Are you trying to do too much yourself? That's question number one. And whether or not you're fully staffed to carry on such a monumental task. My second question is it true that in Washington, at our station, the deadline was extended 3 days by you to collect? There's a rumor that they've extended the deadline for signatures, or were they held to the same deadline as other stations?
As far as I know, they're held to the same deadline. That's number one. Number two is in terms of the first, so that's my answer to the second question, and then we'll have to look at that. The answer to the first question. It's not a question of, I'm not in a position to say, here is what kind of infrastructure we have. I come from a teaching background. There is no principal of a school who does not know their staff. There are volunteers who come in. There are parents who come in. All of this is logged, but we have a situation where you have many, many people having codes to the door, having access to equipment, and the general manager does not know. I mean, the first, I can just imagine somebody coming into the station and beating up somebody, and they're both staff members, and the general manager doesn't even know. That is not my, I don't think that that's my duty, is to take care of issues of infrastructure. That should be done by the group called the Pacific National Board, which is the democratically elected governing structure. So many of the things that I'm spending time on have not to do with my explicit requirements. It has to do with the fact that I'm working within a structure which is fluid, not clear, and not clear to each station, and not clear to the national. Believe me, it's not that anybody says, I don't want there to be a structure. It's that this structure, partially because of all of the struggles we've gone through to build this democratic structure, the infrastructure has not been rebuilt. That makes it a problem.
Mr. Chairman, I think he may have misunderstood my question just slightly. Here's my question about that. It's not that you should be involved in those issues you've just outlined. My question is, the bylaws have taken the election process quite correctly out of the hands of governance. In other words, they don't want us running the elections because they don't want that political entity. My question is, when it's turned over to a national election supervisor and five local supervisors, do they simply have the capacity? Do they have help? Do you have people you can turn to that are carrying out some of the nuts and bolts of this, or is too much work falling on six people?
too much work is falling on six people when there's not a structure.
Okay,
too work is not falling on this group if there is a structure. Without a structure, we are spending a lot of time trying to figure out how to work within each station.
Thank you.
I saw Rob and then
Thank you, Les. I'd like everyone to know that Les has been working hard on the elections issue since before the legal settlement, and his integrity can't be questioned. On our last call, Les, I asked you if the situation had broken down to the point that we would not be we would not be getting the requisite number of candidates, or that we might fail quorum, and you said you didn't know, but you thought it would work out okay. I received. I'm a member of the LSB at WPFW. I received on Tuesday, the 26th of September, at 4:40, an email from Ikeso Alston, who is the elections coordinator at WPFW, correct?
Yes.
And it says, nomination packet deadline. And it says, hello, LSB members, hope all is well. The September 25th deadline has been extended to September 28th at noon. No exceptions will be made if I don't have your nomination packet by September 28, 2006, 12 noon. It will not be accepted for the—that's a misspelling—for the 2007 LSB elections. Are you telling me that that's an incorrect?
That is incorrect. I'll talk to Ikeso, and there's now even a greater problem in terms of WPFW.
I'm sure that there is, but my concern is if things have gotten to this pass and you're not getting the cooperation, should the election go forward with the likely outcome that some or all of the stations could fail to meet quorum, should we regroup?
I think
now?
Right now there's one problem station, and that's WPFW.
Well, I mean, what are you recommending to us? What would you like us to do to help you sort the situation out, or is it beyond salvation?
I am not sure whether there's a provision in the bylaws that the election can be extended if quorum is not met. I know of no such provision about if there are no candidates.
And Dan, that was what I wanted you here for, because there is no provision in the bylaws for what happens in that eventuality. So whose authority rules in that case?
Whose authority?
In other words, who gets to make the decision about how it will be handled? Is that the national board? Is it the executive director? I think it's the national election supervisor, but I want your opinion, before anybody challenges us.
My opinion is that it's the national election supervisor.
Okay. Could you also comment on the nature of any challenge that might be brought to the foundation as a result of errors or failures in this process? Let me reframe that. And we may not, if there's any liability issues, we may not be able to do in public session. But what is the best way to protect the foundation against any such claim? And
well, what I'm trying to do is follow the bylaws, and that's.
I'm asking our attorney.
Okay. The best way to avoid any type of litigation would be to amend the bylaws in order to provide for a process for addressing any unforeseen issue that may arise, such as the one that's now being discussed. So if the bylaws, not today, were to be amended to provide that the election supervisor has authority to implement procedures or actions to ensure that the spirit of the process is respected, that would provide a clear answer to the first question you asked me. You know, we're talking about liability here. I can't imagine that there would ever be a suit for damages that someone could bring against Pacifica regarding violations of the election rules. A person who is aggrieved might go into court and, if successful, have an election rerun or have a candidate qualified or disqualified or something like that. But this is not the sort of issue which poses a fiscal risk to Pacifica,
other than having to deal with that process.
Right.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, but Les, if I heard Les correctly, we've got people in their filings conducting personal attacks on other candidates or on members of the board or staff. I don't know who. If we send out literature in the balloting process that has people making unsubstantiated and possibly defamatory assertions about other members or employees of the foundation, it's not clear to me that there aren't going to be a spate of challenges. Even if many of them are frivolous, we may be tied up with that sort of confusion. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
I want to answer that because Dan Siegel is here. What we're looking for, it's first of all, the overall is free speech in terms of the 500-word candidate statement. Saying that, the context is no libelous statement. The way I've looked at that and the way I've been advised is libel consists of two parts. A, that a deliberate or a provable untruthful statement is made about another person, and secondly, that untrue statement will cause harm among the community that person's saving. So I was given some examples. If one says that a general manager drinks beer after work, and it's not true, it's probably not libelous because it doesn't really affect the person in the community. If one says that the general manager is sleeping with all of their employees, that is libelous if it's not true. And those are a couple of examples. Has that happened in candidate statements? Yes, and we are.
There's no way to hear this if people are going to be talking. Go ahead, Les.
Yes, and we are, in fact, removing some of those statements and consultant with the person because that definition of libel is what I'm using. Dan Siegel can comment on that because I haven't actually talked to him about it.
Dan?
Well, I think that Les's kind of thumbnail summary of libel law is accurate, but unfortunately libel law is very complicated, and I think that in the event that there's a disagreement between Les and a potential candidate over whether a statement should be excised as libelous, it would be good to seek my advice.
Okay. Teresa and Bob? And so you know, we have 9 minutes left in the item.
Just from the planning process of the bylaws and from the experiences with the last two elections, I was under the impression that the election supervisor has tremendous power, even, you know, more than the, I was told that even the executive director could not slap the election supervisor around, could not jump into the situation and start saying, well, you have to do this or this. So I thought that Les had pretty much decision to make decisions to what need to be done. Also, during the bylaws discussions, we discussed the Committee of Inclusion and diversity issues. And I was under the impression that one time we discussed possibly postponing elections or, you know, the dates to accept candidates if the pool was not diverse. So were any arrangements made for that or not?
No, because when I came in, there was nothing that the board had passed, in other words, this is the governing board, and so the bylaws do not include what you're saying, unfortunately. I agree with that. What the bylaws do is give me the power not to listen to resolutions passed by the Pacific National Board. But if I, for example, order that a station will have carts for every hour, once every 3 hours, and it's not done, there's no teeth. I don't have any power. My power is to remove people from the ballot. I will say that there are some general managers who might say, fine, let's remove them all, and then we won't have an election. That's my power. Other than that, because I was a local election supervisor at KPFA, and I can tell you that mostly it was moral suasion, going from programmer to programmer. There was zero structure. I happen to have worked with KPFA for a long time, and people were very, very supportive, but on an individual basis. It had nothing to do with station management.
Thank you. Bob?
First, on the question Teresa raised, that provision, that proposal for the bylaws to include a provision to extend the nominations was, as part of an overall promotion of diversity, was defeated in the process of adopting the bylaws. So that's unfortunately why it doesn't exist today.
That's correct.
I'd want to ask Les, and please forgive me if I missed this because I was momentarily out of the room. Since WPFW in both listener and staff categories has fewer candidates than there are seats, what will then happen after the election? Will those seats just simply remain vacant for 3 years?
I don't know.
Dan, that's the other thing. If you didn't do it, my feeling is that based on what is said in the bylaws about an absence of quorum resulting in incumbents simply retaining their seats, that in such an instance, the top vote getters would retain their seats for the duration of term.
That's correct.
How would it? Well, it's just our idea, Dan. How would that be resolved? That question, because it goes to the question of who's a director of the foundation ultimately. He's not.
The question
sleeping.
Is if there are not enough new members, new delegates elected, would previous delegates continue to serve?
Correct. And how would it be decided?
That's in the bylaws. That's in the bylaws. If the quorum isn't met.
That's if quorum isn't met. But that's, you can meet quorum and not have enough candidates to turn over the roster.
Yeah, that's not addressed. Oh,
true.
That's not addressed.
That's not addressed.
Not meeting quorum, incumbents continue on.
Yes.
So how would we deal with this? Think about it. We'll get back to you. Lydia.
Yes, I have a motion, and hopefully this will be helpful to all concerned, that the executive director proceed with applicable progressive discipline measures of station management for failing to implement election directives by the Pacifica election supervisor, or the PMB because of the card is why I inserted that. Okay. At the close of the elections, summaries of the performance or cooperation of each station's management and the ED shall be prepared by the local and national elections supervisor after a consultation with the respective managers if possible. These summaries shall be transmitted to the respective managers and the ED. These evaluations, along with any written response by the respective managers or ED, shall be placed in the personnel file of each manager or ED and shall be incorporated into their annual personnel evaluation.
Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
It's open for debate. LaVarne?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm on the election committee, and we presented this to the board. So we certainly like to thank the board for taking this up. However, I would like to, based on Les's comment, I'd like to provide a little more teeth to this motion, and I would also like to amend it to say that the performance on the election should account for 20%. Of the performance evaluation of the general manager.
There's a proposal to amend it to say that this. Say it again.
That the performance on the election process should account for 20% of the performance evaluation of the general manager.
As a point of information, do we have a way of judging what percentage any given? I mean, I don't understand how that's implemented.
I guess we should have a session with our HR manager. But,
okay, so
but
that, that'll yes. be the idea, and we'll develop standards for what that means later. That's the amendment. Is there a second?
Second.
In the interest of time, you can speak to the amendment and or the main motion. Go ahead, AC.
Yeah, we're talking about a situation. I haven't even heard what happened at PFW because I've been here for 4 or 5 days, but I'd like to know what happened. And I don't think we should be passing a resolution without knowing, first of all, whether it was who's to blame for this. I mean, we're automatically assuming that we should that it should be the station. Perhaps it is, but I'd like to hear what the election supervisor have to say about that, as well as Dan.
Two quick things, 30 seconds.
I'll let you respond, but I don't feel that this motion says anything about blaming anyone for anything. So I'm going to allow this because I've cut Mr. Bird off in the past, and I want to show respect. But please make the response quick.
One, it's even for me, it was very, very difficult to find anything on the 206 elections on the webpage. It's been a struggle. Two, there was a promise that the last few days before September 25th, carts would be run. And Ikiso kept the radio on. No carts were run.
Thank you. Zarina was next. Do you want to speak to the motion, Zarina, or do you want me to come back to you after we've discussed the motions?
After the motion.
Okay. Phil, Ray, Lydia. Okay. Phil, Ray, and Lydia.
It seems to me that... thank you. Yeah, it seems to me that... as far as the candidates are concerned, he has authority to act. The election supervisor has authority to act. But as far as cooperation with the station managers, there is some issue. And that what's being asked for is teeth to enforce what he's been asked to do. I see here in this document that we've been given the needs structure, needs authority, needs teeth. These are the same things that we just heard from others who have the same sort of problem with dealing with the station management. It seems that we have some more work to do structurally and in governance before we can expect to have elections proceed smoothly. And I think that this is something too big to resolve today. I think it's something of a governance issue and a bylaws issue, and that what we really need to do is take this up as a major change to the way we structure our elections. I don't think that we can do anything substantive now, and I don't think that we can do anything corrective as far as this election is concerned. I think that we can put Band-Aids on what problems we have as far as not having enough candidates, having elections where we've got problems, but I don't think we're going to resolve anything today.
Okay. May I have the permission of the board to enforce a 90-minute speaking limit?
90
seconds. 90 minutes, excuse me, the 90 minutes will be reserved for the chair. 90 seconds for the rest of you. Is that all right? Okay, I see no objection to that. Go ahead, Ray.
I'm completely against this motion. I think it's disrespectful of the functioning of managers. This is evaluating a manager or any individual on the work side is a very complex matter, and I will not put any number, certainly not allow individuals outside of the process of the work place itself, in this case the National Election Supervisor, to put 20% against an individual who could otherwise have a flawless. I take this issue very seriously. I'm in favor of including this and consider the performance in evaluating that individual, but I think this is over the top.
Okay, Lydia and Patty, and then we're at time and need to move.
Okay, yes, my objection to the 20% is that except for the form that I've seen from KPFT, and there may be another station, but I haven't seen it, that we do not have standardized GM evaluation forms that currently weight the various issues and give a percentage weight or a point weight. And I am impressed with KPFTs, and I think that we should have that, but we don't currently, so I think that this is out of order at this time. It does not mean that I would object to it down the line after we work with the HR director to standardize the GM evaluation form and make an overall determination of how everything in relation to the GMs should be weighted. So I think this is a personnel committee issue needs to be referred, in other words, refer it back to the personnel committee.
Point of information. Point of information.
Yes.
I just want a clarity. No. This 20% is mandated to the ED's evaluation or to the LSB evaluation of GMs? I think we need clarity.
What was the intent into which performance? I mean, the text says the, it's transmitted to the ED, so I assume the performance evaluations are the ED's performance evaluations.
It's the ED's, which, yes, of course, would be uniform.
That's my understanding of the motion. Is that correct?
Yeah. That's
okay. Folk, Patty, quickly, and then we're going
to I just wanted to ask Les if he thought that this motion would be helpful to him. This is the whole point. Would this be helpful for you to be able to do your job and enforce the issues that you need done?
Yes.
Okay, we're going to go to a vote. The first on the amendment. Would you read the amendment, please?
Amendment. I'm sorry. That the performance on the election process shall account for 20% of the evaluation of the GMs.
All those in favor, please raise your hand.
One, two, three, four.
Teresa, you have late risers.
I'm sorry.
May we have a roll call, please?
Is there any objection to a roll call?
Can you ask that once you've started counting?
Yes.
No, but I'm going to recognize it. May we, without objection, approve a roll call vote?
Yes.
Thank you. Will you please call the roll, Teresa?
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay, just a minute here. This is Williams' amendment. Okay. We'll start with Bob Lederer.
No.
Alan, just clean that. Alan Minsky?
Pass.
Nathan Moore?
Abstain.
Rosalinda Montes Palacios?
Pass.
Sarv Randhawa?
Pass.
Oh, it's all passed. Rip Robbins?
Yes.
Rob Robinson?
Yes.
Deb Shafto?
Yes.
Zarina Shakir?
No.
Don White?
Yes.
LaVarn Williams?
Yes. Yes.
Teresa Allen says yes. Mary Berg?
No.
Evelyn Bethune?
Yes.
Lydia Brazon?
No.
A.C. Bird?
No.
Lisa Davis?
No.
Patty Heffley?
Yes.
Phil Jackson?
Yes.
Ray LaForest?
No.
And that's going back to the passes. Alan Minsky?
Abstain.
Nathan Moore? No. I'm sorry, you already said abstain. Rosalinda Montes Palacios?
No.
And Sarv Randhawa?
No.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, yes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, no.
I'm going to motivate what I'm about to do by saying the last time this issue came up, trying to get everything resulted in splitting the board and signaling that the board was split. And I believe that if this amendment passes, we again split the board on a motion that otherwise will receive, overwhelming support. And I want to signal the management overwhelming support by the board for this kind of oversight. Therefore, I am voting no.
So fails. I'm a little confused, but that's okay. All right.
Okay, now will you call the roll on the main motion, please?
All right. Wait a minute. Do you want me to read the main motion?
Please.
Please.
Okay. Move that the executive director proceed with applicable discipline measures of station management for failing to implement election directives by the Pacific Election Supervisor of the PNB. At the close of the election, summaries of the performance and cooperation of each station's management and the ED shall be prepared by the local and national election supervisor after consultation with the respective managers if possible. These summaries shall be transmitted to the respective manager and the ED. These evaluations, along with any written response by the respective manager or ED, shall be placed in the personnel file of the manager or ED and shall be incorporated into their annual personnel evaluation.
Okay, will you call the
point of information?
Yes.
I thought when Lydia read the first time, it included the word progressive in front of discipline.
She said that.
Oh, I didn't. I'm sorry, I didn't hear the word.
Do you have the word progressive in there?
Yes.
Progressive discipline.
That's definitely in there.
It's in my text.
Applicable progressive. Yes. Well, you're
okay.
Right, Bob.
Thank you for that correction.
Thank you.
Will you please call the roll, Teresa?
Okay.
Is there any objection to the motion?
I would like the record to show that I did not vote for it. I'm not going to stand in the way if I'm the only person that just put down that with one abstention or
okay.
Something. Without, it's not unanimous
the,
at all.
The motion is passed without abstention. Berg would like to be noted as abstaining.
Passed without objection with one abstention.
Berg abstaining.
Yes.
Berg would
thank
like
you.
To be named
thank you, Mr.
abstention.
Chair.
Thank you very much, everybody, and I thank you for that level of cohesion on this board, and I think that, more than anything else, will signal the management an expectation of full cooperation with the election supervisor. That closes this agenda item. We are now, and Dan,
no.
If you want to go proceed with the rest of your life, we don't need you anymore.
No.
However, we are about to have a rocking report from the tech staff, and you may want to hang out for that.
I'm very sorry.
Oh, Zarina, I am sorry. Zarina, excuse me. Zarina had a comment, and she was trying to get recognized earlier. I'm going to recognize her question to the election supervisor. Go ahead, Zarina.
What I wanted to ask, Les, is this has to do with our station and possibly other stations. If a person is on the board and then they are hired at the station, how would they then be classified for being on the board? And is there a bylaw that we have if a person is a listener rep and then goes on the staff?
If a person is a listener rep and goes on the staff, yes. They are no longer the listener rep.
And so then do they have to run?
Yes,
or,
as a staff.
Excuse me,
oh, and
Les,
how does that happen? Then?
There is the bylaws speak to qualifications for running, not for qualifications for holding office. I would dispute what you're saying. But we don't have time at the moment to go into this discussion.
Okay, so David, you have
David
the
is,
answer then.
David is correct, actually.
Okay.
Thank you. They couldn't run again as a listener, but they can be. We've been through that on the governance committee as well.
All right, thank you.
Bob had a
thank you.
some information for the board.
Yeah, I just learned. I want to check with the WPFW representatives to see is it accurate that there are currently vacancies on the board that because of resignations that could be filled by runners up but have not been.
No.
No.
So in other words, the list
we've
has been exhausted.
We've run out of the list.
Okay,
the,
so everyone
all the people
is,
that were in the back, so to speak, or in the wings, we've run out of that list
lurking.
Now.
So they've okay. declined to assume their seats?
We've
so
run out of the list,
no,
Bob. Do you understand?
The
there's no more
all
people
right.
left.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much, Les. And without delay, we're going to move straight to the tech report. It's John Almella and Pete Caracas. Yes.
Open to having people talk to me, write me, criticize me, give positive suggestions. Thank you.
Okay. I'll recognize you in a second, AC. Greg, would you please see to the transmission of this motion to all the managers as soon as possible so they understand clearly what's going on? Yes, AC.
I was going to ask the question before the election supervisor left. What is he recommending for PFW?
I think we'll have to deal with that offline. We don't have the time in this meeting, but I think we dealt with all the urgent things. And I will ask that he transmit that in writing so the whole board has it as a matter of record. Is that acceptable?
Yeah.
Thank you.